I speak to you in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
How can getting lost be a blessing? Most of the time, lost is a metaphor for anxiety or fear or loneliness or worry. Jesus told story after story about things and people being lost as a prelude to something good happening. Like to being found. There was the sheep who was lost, remember? Even though there were 99 in the pen where they should be. There was the pearl that was lost, a pearl of great price. There was a boy who was lost in the far country. He thought he was on an adventure, but he really was lost, only to become the cause of a great party when he finally wandered home. In all these stories, being lost is a problem. Being found is the good news. So how can getting lost be a blessing? Well, it's not hard to get lost, even if you're not trying to. Some years ago, my wife and our younger son and I spent a wonderful day at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. One day is clearly not enough time to see the whole gallery, and so we found ourselves winding in and out of those side chambers that go off the great wide concourse along the whole length of the gallery. Soon, we realized that John wasn't with us. I don't know why he should have stayed with us. We were lingering over medieval statuary and Dutch Renaissance paintings. But at one point, we realized that John was no longer with us. He had turned right, and we turned left. While we assumed that he was still somewhere in the great gallery, he clearly was lost from us. Well, I'm happy to say that we did not start back on the metro to our motel without him. In fact, while we were resting on a bench in one of those great, gorgeous, plant-filled atriums in the gallery, John walked up and said with great excitement, "Come with me, I have to show you something." So back we trekked way down to the Impressionist rooms, to a salon that featured paintings by Claude Monet. "Look," cried our son, "there's the painting." "How cool is that?" he said. "There's the painting. How cool is that?" He was pointing to one of the paintings Monet did of the west facade of the Cathedral at Rouen in France. He did a whole series of these paintings. Monet would go out at different times of the day when the light was different and do paintings of the same subject. And this is a very famous series of paintings of the west facade of the Cathedral at Rouen. In his art history class, John had written a paper on this series of paintings, but always based on reproductions in his textbook. Because he got lost from us, John came face to face with Monet's original creation. And while getting lost didn't change John's life, it did lead to a rare moment of discovery and delight. It is that easy to get lost, especially if you're curious and bored and adventurous and a 12-year-old boy. In his 12th year, Jesus went with his parents to Jerusalem to keep the feast of Passover. At that time, Passover was a pilgrimage festival, and if you could do it, people liked to travel to Jerusalem, so like Muslims go to Mecca, people go to Jerusalem to keep Passover. And so, Jesus went with his parents to keep the Passover in Jerusalem. That's the story Luke tells. No other gospel repeats this tale. Maybe it's a story of dubious historical foundation. We don't know. We just have Luke's insistence that this Passover journey was important to the Nazarene parents and their son. In fact, they might have gone to Jerusalem often for Passover, but only this year did Jesus get lost. I bet it happened like John getting lost at the National Art Gallery. I remember being 12. I was a little hyperactive, certainly curious, sure that I could manage everything by myself. I've gotten lost at the Orange Bowl in Miami. I've gotten lost walking home from school in third grade. I've gotten lost in a canoe on a lake in North Carolina when I was 9. It's easy to get lost. I just followed what interested me. Never imagined for a moment that I was lost. So Jesus surely traced a similar route in the temple in Jerusalem. There was a whole lot to see. The vendors and merchants selling sacrificial animals that were used in the temple sacrifices. Did he know then that one day he would return and drive them out with raging anger? The priests in their ceremonial vestments, ephods clanging and reflecting on their chests, pilgrims from all over Israel, gathering under the suspicious eyes of armed Roman soldiers to celebrate their festival of freedom from slavery, the Passover. So much to see, and no doubt his parents knew where they needed to go, what they needed to buy, where they needed to stay. We become less adventurous generally as we get older, and a parent's tight grip of safety feels like shackles to an eager 12-year-old boy. I'm okay. I'll be right here. Must have been the boy's promise. But you know, something down that corridor looked interesting. And off he went. I can imagine his being drawn to the circle of teachers, scrolls open before them, eyes glistening with excitement, hardly even noticing the boy who sat close to them, leaning in to hear every word. When I was 14, I went with my father to a conference at Lake Junaluska in North Carolina. It's a Methodist campground for the Southeast. But it was my father's conference, and I went with him, just to go with him. I was just along for company. But then I discovered that there was also a major music workshop for church music directors, adults, grown-ups. And I asked if I could join. They must have thought, well, here's a curious boy, but he probably won't do any harm, so let's let him join us. And I did. And I enjoyed the workshop. And I felt very important standing in the choir on the last day of the conference, singing in my new tenor voice, "There Shall a Star from Jacob Shining," by Felix Mendelssohn. It was a glorious, glorious day I still remember. So, at least in Luke's story, Jesus ensconced himself along the edge of a circle of teachers, curious, listening, until almost without thinking, he asked his own questions. And more curious still, the teachers turned to see where the questions were coming from and saw the boy next to them. And they listened to him. And they listened. And they were amazed. And they directed questions to him. And they were amazed at his answers and his understanding of God and the things of God. The story has a happy ending, as you know, at least for now. Jesus' parents had the good sense to look around at least once on their trip home, realized their son was missing, so they retraced every step of the journey, back to where they had turned right and Jesus had turned left. And they found him. After 3 days, they found him. They found him, now fully among the teachers of Israel, and the boy who was lost was found. Only it wasn't his being found that was the blessing. It was his being lost. And here's, at this point, you have to listen carefully to the story. When his parents found Jesus, Mary, can you hear your own mother? Chided him. "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." The lost boy responded, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And his parents didn't have any idea what he was talking about at that point. When he grew up, more than once Jesus would suggest that even family ties are not the saving relationships in the reign of God. "Who are these, my mother and brothers and sisters?" he sometimes said to crowds. "Whoever does not hate father and mother and brother and sister cannot enter the kingdom of God," was another day's hard saying. Those are not words parents want to hear when they find their lost child and feel their hearts live again. But then those words came later. After Jesus returned home, was obedient to his parents, and while Mary treasured all these things in her heart, Jesus must have pondered the great words of the teachers of Israel and remembered the day he sat among them. But this story appears in the Gospel of Luke and in our worship on the second Sunday after Christmas to help us imagine the full glory of the Incarnation. God is with you, sang the messengers. God is here, confessed the wise men. The Word became flesh and lived among us, sang John. And no matter how much we treasure our parents and children, no matter how much we worry when they get lost, God is with us, and that trumps all else. Getting lost was a blessing to Jesus. It allowed him to find teachers, to listen to the teachers, to question the teachers, to talk to the teachers. Getting lost allowed Jesus a glimpse of the household of God's grace that he was to embody and offer to the world. We have enough times to fret when getting lost is a problem. Thank God that once upon a time when he was 12, Jesus wandered away from his parents and found his true home. Amen.